Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to this. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. The podcast not rugby, doesn't take itself all the game too seriously. I'm here with Phil.
Hello, Philip.
Hello, Jonathan.
And, well, we literally have no idea where Tim Hawker is, do we? Well, no, we do. I mean,
well, he's somewhere, presumably inside the shipping container, between here and Greece.
Basically, yes. So
the shipping container was loaded onto a wagon in Manchester, then loaded onto a boat somewhere near Southampton, and we've not heard from him since.
No, so it's just me and Phil today, which is lovely, actually. It's a nice change. Let's switch it up.
Exactly. Nice refreshing change.
Yes. So we're going to talk all about the European action this week. A great weekend of European action, I might add. But first of all, you need to know where to find us. So you can find me at Jay Beardmore. You can find Tim at Cocker and this podcast at Rugby Podcast. You can also find us on YouTube, and you can find us on Facebook, and occasionally we Instagram.
Yeah, we do have an Instagram account, don't we?
Yes, we do, but solely run by Tim, and usually quite good. When he's on his game, it's
very
really
good.
Yeah, he's got all that access. Yeah, it's good. So, yeah, you can find us in all those places. So, anyway, how about Guy Thompson?
So, jumping right into the rugby.
Yeah, well, why not?
So, well, just to put a little bit of structure on it, I know we don't normally do any structure.
No. Well, why would we?
Good question. But that's why we end up with two-hour-long podcasts. And given that it's after 9 p.m. on a Monday night, I think maybe not a two-hour podcast tonight. So to put a little bit of structure, let's just talk through pool by pool the big talking points. So you've obviously jumped straight to pool four, which is...
Oh, you didn't want to do it like that, no?
Well, no, I'm happy. Happy to go to whatever pool is fresh on your mind.
Well, I wanted to do it in terms of kind of chronologically, but I don't care.
Can do chronologically.
Yeah, so, okay, so, well, before we get into it then, which games did you actually see?
I saw this. So, the live games, I watched this, I watched Ulster. I saw the first half of Munster Gloucester.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched Toulouse Leinster.
Oh, nice. So, yeah, this was the game that I watched. I was looking forward to this game basically all week. I thought it was going to be pretty good, and it was pretty good. It just didn't go the way that I expected it to.
What did you expect? Because in our predictions, I think we all predicted Scarlets.
Yes, though that's what I predicted. That's what I expected. So, you look at this Leicester team, right? And the one thing you never say about Leicester team, you don't go, oh, where's the talent? I mean, the talent is everywhere. They've got so much talent. That's not the problem. I think they've signed well. I mean, you look through that team, you've got an Australian national hooker, you've got Dan Cole, who does some very Dan Cole things, but actually he's pretty good, you know.
Well, those Dan Cole things are a mix of good and bad.
Yeah, when I say Dan Cole things, it's like good scrimmaging, little bit of work around the breakdown.
His breakdown work, if he gets a ref on his side, can be very good. If he gets a ref against him, he's an absolute penalty machine.
I just don't understand why he doesn't learn.
I know.
Like, he's so good at some things.
And he did give away a couple of kind of silly penalties where he's either the tackler and not released, or the ruck's already well over, the ref's shouting hands off, and he's just ferreting for the ball.
Yeah, exactly right. So it isn't talent. So when you look at this team, you've got to assume it's something else, like group cohesion, or they've just not got their act together. Now, juxtapose that with Scarlets. Now, yes, they have talent. I wouldn't ever say they don't. But the best thing about them is what a good team they are.
Yeah.
And how attackingly fluid they are.
Yeah.
So you get those two things, you combine them against this Leicester team, which I don't believe has shown up particularly well. Well, in particular, in defence.
Well, their defence, even in this game, was very questionable at times. I mean, some of the positioning, some of like the reading of the plays, thinking to like, particularly the first try, the Gareth Davis try, it was not great.
No.
But if they can score 45 points, if they've got the attacking threats, the likes of Manu, the likes of Johnny May, and the likes of the man you mentioned, Guy Thompson.
And Kyle Eastmond,
who was a bit quiet. I think they looked better when Tamua came on.
Do you think... Yes, I do agree that Tamua did slightly better, but do you think that the reason Manu played so well is because Kyle Eastmond puts him into space? I mean, you've got two great playmakers there to
come up. Yeah, they've got playmakers. And having the playmakers, having the option of Manu and the options out the back, that's what you need.
Yeah.
And that creates a little bit of space, a little bit of question in the defence's mind.
So, I have criticised Leicester Tigers before. I've criticised their board-level decisions.
We don't need to go through all of your past criticisms.
Yes.
Right now.
I mean, they've let go of players that I would definitely have kept. But, you know, we are where we are. I love what they've done with this back row. I mean, it feels a little bit scattergunny. Like, yeah, we'll try Guy Thompson. He's quite a good ball carrier. We'll try Denton. We'll try Calamifoni. One of them can carry a ball, right? Well, they were right. And I thought Guy Thompson was absolutely marvellous.
He was. He had a great game, both in attack, where he finished off a phenomenal try and made a break earlier in that try, but in defence as well. And his work rate was very, very good.
He's a weird one, because he's not the biggest.
No.
And he's not the fastest. But he's probably faster than most big men and bigger than most fast men.
That is a very good point. He's interesting. So he reminds me of two players in the Premiership.
Go on.
Well, see if you can guess. Of similar kind of all-round capabilities. Similar.
David Denton would be the one who reminds me of the most.
Oh, no. David Denton is much bigger.
Is he?
Yeah. Denton is a much bigger boy.
What is Guy Thompson? He's...
Let's have a look at his...
Oh, God, he is. You're right. He's... Yeah, you are massively right. He's only 6'1". I thought he's much bigger than that. 6'1", listed at 102 kilograms.
There you go.
Crikey. I actually thought he was much, much bigger than that. So, yes, okay, fine.
Yeah, and Denton is a lot bigger than that. Denton's like 6'5 and 115.
Oh, well, that sort of size, you're kind of in the Simmons zone.
I think he's been a little bit bigger, not quite as explosive as Simmons. I'd say the two that I liken him to in his work rate is all-round ability, because I wouldn't say he's exceptional. He's not exceptionally quick for a back row, not like a Simmons. He's not an exceptionally explosive carrier like a Billy or a Nathan. But he's very good all-round. One of them is Jackson Rae.
Yes, love that.
And the other one, up at Newcastle, Mark Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's a bit more of... what's his name? The Scottish guy who's not Scottish anymore.
The Gary Graham.
Yeah, because he's all action, about 6'1", plays 7. But yeah, I definitely see that. I think that's a great comparison.
And yeah, can play, well, Thompson, same as Rae, and Wilson, in fact.
He's not 6'1".
Can play 6, 7, 8.
He's not 6'1". I don't believe that for a second.
New guy, Thompson.
Yeah.
I can't remember who he stood next to. It was Mike Williams. He was stood next to Mike Williams in the game on Friday night, and he did look small compared to him.
Let's have a look at this. 1.85 meters.
So 6 foot is 1.83 meters.
Right. Oh, I'm completely wrong. Completely wrong. There you go. Oh. So really good win for Tigers. Because I thought this was basically the end of their European campaign. That Ulster defeat was... I mean, Ulster are not good, as you well know.
I know. Well, they can put a few games together. So that puts Leicester in second place in the group on one win. Scarlets are bottom of the group, which few might have thought going into the tournament. So they've not won anything. And then the other two teams, which was the other game in this group, was Racing hosting Ulster. Now, did you see any of this?
I was getting slowly drunk at the rugby club whilst it was on. So I did see that Ulster were ahead. There's some sort of little chip through for a try. Did I imagine that?
There was a crossfield kick for the Stockdale try.
Uh-huh.
And there was a brilliant team try for Shanahan, the number nine, to score. Both of those were early on. So first 20 minutes, Ulster started like a house on fire. Set piece good. Burns pulling the strings. Addison making breaks.
It's good, isn't
Lowry
he?
Making breaks.
So do you admit now he's better than other people thought?
It's a very non-specific admission you're asking me to make.
Exactly.
There.
Can you admit for other people?
I admit that some people did not rate him highly enough. I'm happy to say that on behalf of other people. They started really well, and those players looked good, and then the inevitable happened, and that big Racing pack forced errors, tired the Ulster pack, moved them around the park, forced mistakes at the line out. Four penalties, and Racing with the undoubted talent they've got across their back line. And when you've got a back three of Juan Imhoff, Simon Zebo and Teddy Thomas, you're doing all right. You're not going to worry too much about tries. And Finn Russell...
What did Simon Zebo have to apologise for?
So he scored, he ran in an easy try, and he was kind of pointing and jeering at Michael Lowry, who couldn't have tackled him. He was trying to get across to him, but there was nowhere near enough room.
Oh,
and
right.
It's reminiscent of what Dellin Armitage did in the European Cup final to Brock James about 4 years ago.
So if I was to be outraged, what level should it be?
So based on that alone, medium level outrage.
Medium level outrage.
But
okay.
Nigel Owens took him to one side and said, basically, that's not very nice. Sort yourself out. He then apologised to Michael Lowry, and he then went and put a very good post on Twitter apologising again directly to Michael Lowry.
All right, yeah, so get it, fine.
Your outrage should be maybe a grade one.
Grade one outrage, perfect.
With one being low, not high.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. I'm slowly starting to think Ulster are kind of going to come good, you know. I know this is a big old beating. But you were worried, weren't you, start of the season or end of last season, where's the talent? And all of a sudden, you've got lots of guys who play lots of different positions. You know, Larry's coming through. Even in the pack, you've got Kurtzea back. Jordy Murphy's a nice pickup.
Yeah,
it's slowly coming together, you know. I don't think you're going to be a top team, but it's going to be competitive.
So, Timoney is a good player as well. I know.
Yes, the eight.
Yeah, picked up a knock this weekend. But the concerns of back line, there's always been talent. There's a lot of talent. Mm. Even losing players, they've reacted well and brought in good players. So Cooney and Burns are looking like a good unit. Stockdale and Lowry, Gilroy, Louis Luddick when he comes back in. And then McCloskey, Addison, Cave... Marshall, you've got options right in every position. The question for me is the tight five, and you've got a bit of talent. Rory Best, when he plays, Marty Moore's not a bad pickup. Ian Henderson is sensational, but
on occasions,
it's when these guys aren't all available, that tight five is not great.
And what's Addison's future? 13 or 15?
Good question. He's playing well at 13 at the moment.
Very direct, isn't he? I mean, those two are very direct combined.
They are, but Addison has got a bit of pace about him as well, and he's got a nice outside break, good offloader. I mean, so there's been some talk on Twitter and everywhere else about Lowry, who made 159 metres with ball in hand.
Nice.
Which is the most of any Ulster player in the Heineken Cup in a single game. Addison, so he only made 38 metres. For those 38 metres, he beat seven defenders and made seven offloads.
Crikey.
Which is very, very handy. And that creates space for like Stockdale, who made hundreds of metres, and Lowry, who also made a lot of yards. So, yeah, I don't know. 13 is not a bad option. I guess if he's going to play for Ireland, maybe 15 is the better option, though. Because... Zebo is obviously away, although he's playing well and could be selected. Carney is getting on, although he's still a very good operator, very solid operator. And Lama maybe has not got quite the experience yet, so maybe 15 is his best chance, because alternatively, If he's 13, you've got Ringrose and then Henshaw if Bundeaki plays 12. So it's,
yeah,
centre feels more competitive. There's less chance of him getting in there. But watch this space.
Yes, yeah, quite.
Where do you want to go next, then? Where do you want to jump around to?
Well, we sort of did that group with... Which were we meant to do that group? I don't know.
I'm happy doing that group.
Well, as...
You go to a game and I'll steer around that.
Right. So, Cast Exeter.
Cast Exeter. This is disappointing.
Yeah.
As a fan of English rugby in general and a great admirer of Exeter, this is a disappointing result.
They're on the brink, aren't they? Or are they? They've got a bonus point. They've got two bonus points out of that.
Yeah, so they've got 3 points overall, which means they are in last place with no wins, but everyone else in their group has only won one game. Although Munster are on 7 points with a win and a draw. So they've got points on the board. They are in last place, but they're not a million miles away. If they can get results every time, if they can get something out of every game, they can comfortably get to the kind of 16, 17 point mark, which you normally need to qualify. So they're not quite out yet.
Yeah.
Which is, it's the opposite of what I'd say to Bath, for example, who they're on 4 points, so they're on one more. They're off the bottom of their group, but they've not won a game. They've drawn one. And I just can't see Bath doing anything in that group, especially having lost at home to Toulouse and having to play Leinster twice.
Yeah. The thing is about Cast, like I always assume they've got to be good at something. Because last year in the European Cup, they were not good. They were not even slightly good.
Nope.
In fact, they were so bad that they made Leicester look like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yep.
Now, if you remember that game, I mean, Leicester looked like... They looked like a mix between the Barbarians and the All Blacks. They looked absolutely superb. But they must be a seriously good outfit at some point.
They've got a big pack. Their backs are nothing special, but they know the areas of the pitch they want to play in, and they take points when they're available.
Yeah, and I also think if Leicester are going to use that power game, which they love to do, pretty close in, well, we saw the top 14 final, and Cass seems to be very, very adept at stopping that.
Yeah, yeah. They can front up against anyone with that pack. And they did, and... Remarkably, so I don't know if you'll have seen this, but Cast lost their number 8 on 37 minutes to a red card. We spoke at length about red cards on the previous pod. We're not going to do that.
Correct.
This was a absolute cast iron red card. Under the old laws, under the new laws, or the old interpretation, the new interpretation, it was a no arm off the ball shot to Luke Carandicky's head.
Right. It's fine. Okay.
But they, without that, their number 8,
well,
they
did
phenomenally well.
The Steve Maffey try was quite incredible.
Yeah, Maffey. Love
who
Maffey.
Is Tom Lauday?
Don't know.
Well, I've seen him making breaks on all the highlights. He looks pretty ferocious. He's 18 stone, 6'2", and he's listed as previously playing for the Pirates and only 2 games for Exeter.
Oh, this is the number 8 that played, yeah.
Yes. So that's a fairly interesting one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's another option to the number 8. And he played well. He carried very well, yeah. Carried very hard, and carried repeatedly against that massive pack.
Well, in the words of the commentator for this game, wow!
Wowee!
Wowee! yeah, so anyway, Exeter, fine.
Exeter, unfortunately, lose.
Gloucester lost.
So Exeter was in Pool 2.
Yep.
So let's stick in Pool 2 for a second, which was the other game with the red card, which we won't go into, but Munster comfortably throughout the game, although Gloucester scored 3 tries late on. To make the scoreline look a bit less comfortable for Munster, but it was always, especially after the Cipriani red, it was always comfortable for
yeah,
Munster.
Yeah, it's a pretty rubbish one for the. It's a pretty rubbish one, this one. I mean, do Gloucester. I mean, they've got one win in the bag. They're going to be Well, hang on. The Danny Cipriani red doesn't really affect them that much, does it? Because it's all Premiership Cup now.
Yeah, he'll. I think he'll miss games. I don't think he'll miss...
The problem they've got now is they really needed that... Well, they really needed some form of points there because they've got Exeter three times in something like 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for them. But they'll back themselves to get pick-up points. So, by no means out. This was a good Munster performance, though. The red card did affect Gloucester, but you saw Cast playing more than 40 minutes with 14 men.
Yeah.
And we didn't give them a chance before the game, so it doesn't always affect games as much as you think it might do. And it did affect Gloucester's shape and attack, but they moved Billy 12 trees in, and you've got a pretty fine ball player there, or a decent...
Now, did I hear, because I didn't watch the game, but did I hear that... Billy 12 trees threw a double miss pass into touch during this game, right at the start.
Now, it might have happened. Yes. It happens most games.
I sincerely hope he did. Just really keep that streak alive.
It wouldn't be a Billy 12 trees performance, but he actually did quite well in general.
He's done very well this year.
Yeah, he did. But this wasn't about Gloucester's performance. This was about Munster's performance, and they were very, very good. The boy, Joey Carberry, was superb, and... He's one of those players who always looks like he's got time on the ball.
Yeah.
Because his decision-making is so good, and he can just delay, and then pick the right decision, which is exactly what he did for his try. He was looking at the options outside. The space opens up. He can just accelerate through and dive over the line. And the other one I just want to mention...
Mike Haley.
Not Mike Haley, although he did play well.
He played very well.
It's Ty Byrne.
Yes.
So we all know Ty for his offloading and running game from the Scarlets, but some of his work on the deck, his work at stripping the ball and his work through the middle of mauls at the line out is superb.
It does baffle me, you know, in rugby, like, how do they miss these people?
So he was Leinster Academy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, they must be watching him thinking, nah, he's just not good enough. And I wonder, I mean, if you look at the guy as well, he's not a particularly good build for a rugby player.
No, he's not the perfect build.
Like, think about even... put him next to Etzebeth, say, right?
Yeah.
And
it looked like Etzebeth's about to take his dinner money.
Correct. But, like, I wonder if he's just the kind of guy that when you have him in training and stuff, maybe he doesn't look great, but it takes, you know, the all-out conflict of the game in order to get the best out of him. And he's so smart. I mean, that's what I noticed about him at the Scarlets. Like, line-out time, he's smart.
Yeah.
And he's just a very, very good player.
You have him, so Ty Byrne and Peter Omani, like, trying to disrupt your line-out. Your line-out is going to get disrupted.
It's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. So Munster were very, very good value in this game. And they're looking good. Looking good in the league. They've got good options. That Carberry signing, I really wanted him at Ulster, but...
You've got Billy Burns, mate.
I've got Billy Burns, yes. Yeah, and he played well for 21 minutes. Yeah, Carberry looked the real deal. So fair play, Munster. And that puts them, as we kind of touched on before, top of the pool, one win, one draw. They got 7 points. They're doing all right. They are, right now, favourites to top that group.
Yeah, I'd say so. Comfortable favourites. Hang on. They're back-to-back against... So, yeah, I think their style of rugby actually suits them pretty well if they're going up against Cast.
They'll be back-to-back against Cast, yeah.
I like them for that. I did not see... now, is it Edinburgh... Which pool is it next? Help me out here.
Well, if you tell me a game... So, the Edinburgh
Edinburgh would be the next one I want to talk about.
Because this is a good pool. This is two phenomenal results. So, this is pool five, which had Edinburgh hosting Toulon, the three-time champions Toulon, and Newcastle holding the phenomenally big spenders Montpellier.
Yes.
The two French giants coming to little British teams in Edinburgh and Newcastle. Now, the Edinburgh result... So, you look at it, you look at the result, the scoreline, 40 points to 14... to Toulon, to the giants of Toulon, it's phenomenal.
Oh, right, okay.
It's astonishing. But let's
play a game. Can we play a game?
We can do.
All right, it's the giants of Toulon game, right?
Yeah.
I'm not joking. I know. Have you got the team up in front of you, the names?
I've seen the team. I can very
quickly... No, don't get it up. Name me their starting eight.
Oh, their pack. Oh. I'm going to struggle there. Chucky? Was he...
Incorrect.
Because I've only seen the highlights of this game.
I mean, even if I knew... Sorry. No, what am I trying to say here? I don't even know the names of the players.
Okay.
I do not know. So... I can't even read the names.
Telfa Fenua, the second row, the big second row, was he playing?
There was two Telfa Fenuas.
Okay.
Sebastian and Romain.
Romain, he's the second row, isn't he?
Yeah. He is 133 kilograms.
He's a big boy.
That is a big boy. I know Wande Kruger.
Oh, yeah.
Sail Sharks is Wande Kruger.
Yeah.
Looks like Sail had the last laugh there.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah.
How about Swan... Rabadja, spelt R-R-E-B-B-A-D-J.
Is he the back row?
6'7".
6'7". Fair play.
6'7". How about Florent Van Verga?
Dunno.
Nope, never heard of him either.
So their back line, they had Surveyor, they had Bastero back, they had Fekitoa. Was Tuisova playing?
Yeah, and Bonneval.
So they've got a... Their back line's good. Their pack, probably enormous.
It's huge.
Doesn't mean they're good.
But they look like they've just picked players because of their size.
But this game is not about Toulon and their downfall, although that is a story. This game is about the rise of Edinburgh under Richard Cockerell. This is a phenomenal result. And I've only watched the highlights. Hell of a performance. They scored some superb tries. And right across the board, they look good. They matched them up front. Their backs had the beating of what was a very, very talented Toulon and a very expensive Toulon.
Very expensive Toulon. Edinburgh did beat Montpellier last week.
No. So they had a try disallowed for crossing.
Oh, yes, that's
so
right.
They picked up a bonus point, a losing bonus point, but they didn't win. So Edinburgh have won one game, but they're on 6 points in the league. Montpellier have won one. They're on 5 points. Toulon have not won anything. They got a single losing bonus point against Newcastle. That's it.
Which
moves us nicely onto the Newcastle
just
game.
Wait there a second. Did you see what Bougelot was tweeting on?
No.
He tweeted a link to YouTube. I think it was the opening of Fantasia, where they're cleaning out.
Where you've got the little... sweeping brushes.
I think so. I think that, that's a film. I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't think it's an All Blacks thing. They're going to sweep the changing rooms. I think it's a little bit more sinister than that.
Yes, it's not a humble sweeping the changing room, is it?
No, not really. The other teams in this group. This is the Newcastle group, right?
This is the Newcastle group.
Amazing, amazing stuff.
So this is a hell of a result. Considering Newcastle's kind of mixed fortunes in the league so far this season, and considering this wasn't really a first team. They've rested players. It's by no means a bad team, but it's a bit of a mixed batch. And that Montpellier team is as expensive, if not more expensive, than Toulon.
Yeah, you're right.
Just three of the names who will be amongst the most expensive in the league, who they've brought in the last couple of years.
Who do you think the most expensive people are in there?
Well, Pickermalls, Pienaar, Cruden.
That's an 8-9-10 combo, isn't it?
Yeah, phenomenal combo. Usen wasn't playing, but someone like Benjamin Fall, Janser Fontaine, the multiple South Africans they've got in that pack, they're not cheap players.
No, tell you what, hang on, do I see... Are the Du Plessis still there?
They are still there. I think they both played last week. They weren't playing this week.
Oh, Chilichava from Toulon.
Who was Toulon.
Yeah, so I just look at this team and I think, how much would I love to own a really expensive rugby team? Must be so cool.
Yeah, but if you manage it in the way that Montpellier and Toulon are doing, you get beaten up by the relatively meagre budgets of Newcastle Falcons and Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm not sure this Newcastle Falcons team is that meagre on budget.
And do you know, relative.
And do you know who had a very good game again?
Johnny Williams.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim's not here, so we can do these sort of things. would you...
you're allowed to go off-piste.
Yeah. Would you consider him for England?
Yes.
I would do.
I want to see a bit more of him in the league. And he's played very well. But yeah, I want to see a bit more of his game.
He's just, yeah, I think he's absolutely brilliant. And Joel Hodgson got man of the match, I believe.
He did. But the real talking point of this was the 80+8 minute try after wave of pressure, the pressure that were just mounting and mounting and mounted. And Newcastle got over the line. It was one of those where you think, it's just, they're not going to do it. They can't do it against Montpellier. They can't grind out that Montpellier pack.
So two of the great... actually, the trajectories of these two teams are almost identical in some ways. So two great sort of last-minute wins in Heineken Cup history are this one.
Yeah.
I mean, there are others. And the other one, which would be comparable, but probably even better, Nick Evans in the wet for Harlequins, dropping a goal against, I cannot remember. It might have been Toulon. It might have been, it was a big team.
Yeah. Was it Toulouse?
It could have been Toulouse. I seem to think it was a French team.
Yeah.
Both coached by?
Dean Richards.
So, are we just waiting now for the inevitable tragedy of Newcastle?
Where he pushes winning too far.
Yeah, exactly. When he's I just want to know what he's got up his sleeve. But it's very similar. You know, he builds a squad. They start doing well in Europe. They become a real force, and then, well, let's find out.
Well, yeah, and I mean this group now with Newcastle and Edinburgh in first and second place is well set up for the two Leicester boys, Dean Richards and Richard Cockerell, to face off in the double header in December time. That'll be a good storyline. Because if one of those teams wins both of those games, they're almost there. They're almost qualified for the last eight.
Now, I'm sure Leicester are very happy with Jordan Murphy. He seems to be the right sort of guy. But there must be a lot of Welford Road faithful looking at that game going, we could do one of those boys. I mean, maybe not now, but they could have done with them, well, actually, before they fired one of them, and then just after they fired one of them.
Yeah.
That would have been the time.
Yes. But it's, I mean, I was amongst many calling for Cockerell to leave Leicester, because they were not getting the results, they were not getting the talent to do what they needed to.
Yeah, I completely agree.
He has shown what a quality coach, what a quality operator he is.
So no, I think their mistake was more fundamental than that, which was, I think Aaron Major could have done a great job. I think Richard Cockerell could have done a great job. They just can't do it together.
Yeah, that is.
It's just a compromise, and compromises never ever work. That's why I don't compromise.
You never ever
compromise.
On that, where do you want to go next?
I didn't even watch the Saracens Lyon games. There's no real point in talking about that. But Lyon have really disappointed me this year, I've got to say.
That's pool three. It's disappointing from Lyon's perspective. Saracens, clinical. It's as expected. The 2 points that are worth mentioning are the Mario Todgi try.
Nice.
Strip and gas 50 metres.
Yeah.
And the Lewington try.
Even when he's sprinting, Mario Todgi doesn't look like he's trying particularly hard.
Too easy for him. Yeah. Far too easy for him. But the Lewington try, which was a sensational little deft handling move from the backs that Lewington just hit at full pace and just gassed everyone.
He's ace, isn't he?
Into the corner. That was a great try. And that is, we have said it before, if that doesn't get him looked at by Eddie Jones, what will?
I don't know. I think some players have just got a reputation, and come what may, they will be earmarked for England.
Yeah.
So I've softened a bit on Cockenasinger.
You have softened because he's had good performances
but
this year.
Prior to that, he hadn't done well. Lewington, for me, has done well every time I've watched him. His two stints in the Premiership, in the Championship, now at Saracens playing, you know, the highest level in one of the best teams in the world, and he looks electric.
The question for me is still a little bit over his defence, but that's probably as much because of his reputation, and I've just not seen him being put in those positions.
Yeah.
So that was pool three. The other game, so Saracens currently top that, two wins from two. The other game was the two teams that have won one each. It was Glasgow and Cardiff.
This is awesome.
Well,
this was awesome.
The biggest talking point from this game was the kits.
Yeah, well, I mean, even the kits, and I've got a thing about these kit clashes, they're absolutely ridiculous. It could have been avoided.
It is. It just seems a joke that it was not avoided. No one said, guys, can you see each other?
We wouldn't do it at Talk H level.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do it at Sedgwick Park?
No, absolutely not.
It is baffling. Did they not think of calling each other?
Well, even on the day. So they're playing this at Cardiff. Cardiff must have another kit in that stadium.
Glasgow. Is it at Glasgow?
No, he's at Cardiff.
Was it? Are you sure?
Yeah. Plastic pitch, but it was
at
Cardiff. Yeah,
you're right, yes. Well, it's on card to change. Now, is there an element of this which, you know, they have to wear their shirts for contractual reasons?
Well, no, because if it's a league clash, they can't have a contract with a supplier or sponsor that would force a league clash, surely.
They both have to wear a European kit, or they've got a certain amount of change. That's the only thing it must be.
No,
they can't just be that incompetent.
I think because it's not so from a distance. Actually, close up, they're not that similar. They're very similar colour palettes, but they're not that similar. But when you zoom out and you're trying to look at the whole field, you just can't see. Mm. It just looks like 30 men who are all wearing the same kit.
For all the things that rugby gets slammed for, I mean, I think a lot of it is pretty harsh. This is sheer incompetence,
it is.
Really.
It's just stupid.
Unless I actually have to do it, it is silly.
I cannot see why they'd have to do it. But good win for Glasgow, getting back into the game. And
some of the attacking play in this game was amazing.
Yeah.
I think it was the DTH try.
Yeah.
Scintillating stuff.
Yeah. But there were two tries after 4 minutes, Glasgow were.
Yeah. When Glasgow are on it, they are as dangerous as anyone.
And Adam Hastings, the young buck, had another good game.
Hopefully on a Rugby Dungeon soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. I know I always say it, and it's the same with Ulster. But as soon as you get rid of, you know, the main man, it's amazing how quickly another main man just shows up.
They found one here. He's playing well. Some good stuff. Bath
Pool Wasps.
Pool one. So Bath Wasps, the 35-all draw. And this is the only game I don't think I've seen in proper highlights or full game of.
No, which is a shame because I've seen a handful of highlights, but I just, you know, an all Premiership clash doesn't really. It's weird. I've got no problem with the Pro 14 clash.
Yeah,
I will watch that, and it still has its European feel because they're from different nations. An all Premiership clash, I'm just not really bothered. Is the answer?
Yeah, And especially after their poor performances the week before, I was even less bothered. From what I read, this was two teams that wanted to attack but didn't particularly want to defend.
35-all might suggest the same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you might have nailed that.
But the other game in this pool, the later
game
Sunday game.
Game of the week.
Oh, what a game this was. And what a way for Stade Toulouse to return to the top of the top flight of European rugby. And what a way for Maxime Medard to have a kind of renaissance in his career. He was
an Indian summer.
Oh, he really is having an Indian summer. That was a brilliant performance.
Yeah, I mean, I was tweeting before the game how amazing it would be if Toulouse were good again.
Oh.
And I wonder if they can sustain this now.
Now, that is a massive question for me. Teams can get themselves up, because all these teams have talent.
Yeah.
So they can get themselves up for individual games. And this was obviously a big game, big moment for them at home, where they're very proud to put in a big performance.
First time that stadium has been sold out for years.
Really?
Yeah, allegedly. That's what they're saying on commentary.
In comms.
So this is like the second. This is the second coming of a Toulouse team, right? Okay. So the credit here goes to Alex Shaw, as does a lot of my knowledge. So they've got young lad, Entomac.
Entomac, yeah.
Son of Entomac.
Of Entomac, yeah.
They've got
who played centre, but he went off injured.
HIAF.
Yeah.
They've got, I believe, a young Brennan.
Yes, although he wasn't playing in this. Yep. But yeah.
They've also got a young Palouse, apparently.
Okay.
And there's also one other which I can't remember.
The younger brother of Christophe Tulafua, the former Toulouse and Saracens hooker,
yeah,
was playing number 8. He carried well.
Now, I can't quite say his name. Celaviso or something like that. Tulafua.
Young Tulafua.
Yeah, young Tulafua is far better, isn't it? I tell you, the guy who I thought was superb in this, Charlie Falmoina.
Yeah, he did well.
He was dynamite.
He did well.
Some of his hitting, some of his carrying was brilliant.
Yeah.
Seldom have I seen Tad Furlong get out-carried, but I thought Falmoina did
it good.
Very well.
Yeah. And Leinster did not play badly at all.
No, they didn't.
They made a few errors, they got forced into a few errors, and by their standards, they'll be annoyed. They still played very, very well, and this was one of those, like, muscular but exciting European rugby games that had it all. It had absolutely everything, and both teams could attack. Both teams were putting in massive hit after massive hit.
So, where do you think Leinster lost it? Because Leinster can play all sorts of ways.
They can do. They got a few unlucky bounces, few unlucky rubs of the green in terms of decisions. I think they weren't expecting, or this is probably me interpreting it, they perhaps weren't expecting Toulouse to play with as much attacking flair. So in recent years, when I've watched Toulouse, it has just been massive pack, massive centres carrying it up, massive pack, massive pack, massive pack. And this, they had that massive pack, but they also had the kind of guile and pace in the backs to threaten Leinster. And it seemed at times that Leinster were a little bit caught off guard by that. And Toulouse wanted to have a very high tempo game, which is something that Leinster do brilliantly at times. But, almost, I'm sure they were expecting it, but Toulouse just did it so well that it was difficult to contain.
So here's something for you. Metres made on both sides, Toulouse, 501. Leinster 446, right? So not much of that. Defenders beaten 27 each. I mean, the difference was one team got two conversions and three penalties, and the other team got three conversions and two penalties. That's how tight it was.
Yeah.
Three tries apiece.
Yeah, it was very tight, and it was one of those where the scoreline yo-yoed as well.
Yeah.
So Toulouse got those early tries, or early try, and then a couple of penalties that pushed them into quite a comfortable lead, and then Leinster just came back. The Sean O'Brien tried, the James Ryan, who crashed over so powerfully for that try, and then the Sean Cronin try.
What's the knock on Sean Cronin? Why isn't he not universally loved as one of the best hookers in the British Isles? Right. Sorry, UK, whatever. UK and Ireland, whatever the right phrasing is now.
Britain and Ireland.
Yeah, home nations, that's what I want to say.
The reason? Rory Best.
But, like, he's much better than Rory Best, isn't he?
Well, he does. He's different to Rory Best.
Rory Best wouldn't
have scored two tries in 2 weeks. He certainly wouldn't have finished off, well, probably either of those tries. Rory Best working the tight. It has to be better because Joe Schmidt picks him.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I would not like to say that I have definitive evidence and I've witnessed with my own eyes that Rory Best is considerably better than Sean Cronin in the tight. But I can only say that Joe Schmidt knows things.
Yeah, I mean, he must know something. I mean, he must do quite a lot, I guess. But I seem to remember Sean Cronin also being, not Lenz's backup, but Lenz's bench option for quite a long time.
Yeah, behind Rickard Strauss.
Yeah, and who I've not actually heard of at all this season. Is he injured?
Is he retired? He did have a heart issue a couple of years ago, didn't he?
I've got no idea.
So,
I just think it's weird that every time I watch Cronin, I think he's absolutely class. Yeah. Like, he's always got like a big run in him. He scored two tries in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and yet
he beats defenders, carries hard.
We don't talk about him in the same breath as we talk about like Dylan Hartley or, you know, Rory Best. And I think he's much better than both those boys.
He certainly has a much better highlight reel.
He's up there with Ken Owens.
I'll 100% give that.
I just like to see massive men winning rugby games because it confirms my bias.
That massive men win rugby games.
Massive men do win rugby games. I don't think I mentioned that again. I mean, to Corey, what's he? 123 kilograms. Goodness me. And it was good to watch. It was good to watch Leinster get a bit. I mean, I seldom have celebrated so much to see Leinster lose and Toulouse win.
Yeah. It isn't. So I love Leinster. They're an amazing team. It was almost like the talk on the back of their performance last week in some quarters, not all quarters, because most of the fans were very kind of humble and realistic, but some of the press were almost talking as if, well, we might as well just give them the trophy now.
Yeah.
If they can put 50 points on Wasps, let's just give them the trophy. So it's nice to have that being kind of put to bed and brought back down to earth. And it shows that there are a number of teams to lose who I did not think were one of them, but there are a number of teams who can beat each other on their day.
I wonder as well, does this give a little bit more confidence to the other teams in that group?
In that group and in the tournament, I think.
Yeah.
Because Leinster were looking unbeatable, both on last year's form and this year's form in the Pro 14 and this game, or the previous game.
Yeah. I don't fancy Bath's chances against them.
No.
In fact, do you know what? I'm going to go the other way on this. I think this is like the thing which kicks up the arse.
So, do you remember last season when every time Saracens got a hide in, they'd end up playing Northampton? putting 60 plus points on Northampton. I've got a feeling that might be coming for Bath. It's a while off, so we've got Autumn Internationals, obviously. The next game, I think it's December, the next round of European Cup. But I think Leinster will do something special.
Do you know, this might be the downside. Do the whole debate, like the Premiership is Savage League, and then Pro 14 can rest players and rotate. And to date, it's clearly a system that works. Just needs to look at Leinster. Brilliant. But I wonder if the downside to it is, when you do have a loss and you want to bounce back quickly, if your managed minutes, if they get in the way, or it's going to be a while until these lads pull on the blue jersey. That team.
Most of that team will be pulling on a green jersey in a few weeks.
Very, very true. I just wonder if that's the counterbalance to to good player management.
Good player management, resting, making sure all you guys are fit and fresh all the time.
Because it's a long, long time until they have the next round of European matches.
It is. It's a while.
Right. I think that's it, isn't it?
Well, so there's fixtures next week.
Do we care about them? That's the question.
Well, so it's two questions for me. Do I care about the results? No. Do I care about seeing the teams and seeing some of the highlights and seeing some of the talent and just watching the game, looking at the talent? Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can I just point out, London Scottish beat Leeds Carnegie this week?
Yeah, Leeds Carnegie, bottom of the league.
Cracking win?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing that they're bottom of the championship.
Yorkshire Carnegie.
Not Leeds, strictly not Leeds. I've not been following Leeds or Yorkshire, as they are now, particularly closely, but obviously something bad is going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're struggling.
So who is next week then, mate?
Well, so just one other thing to mention, although I don't want to go into the game, but Chris Ashton, his return from a seven-week ban. I'm surprised you've not brought it up, but hat-trick.
Well, no one can see it. I mean, I tell you what, there is an amazing set of highlights from Sale Sharks. So they've done the team huddle in the changing room. They've highlighted in Chris Ashton's three tries. And then at the end, there is a little bit of a speech from Steve Diamond. So, should we get to Steve Diamond bit?
Tuesday, whenever you do back in good condition, we had a slow start. We've got to make up for it before Christmas time.
Yeah.
People on the floor are our debutants, Ashy, Tom Bristow, and Cliffy has got 100.
Yay! Lads. And then beer commenced. But it's pretty cool that they're. It's pretty cool that they're doing this stuff.
It's good. I like seeing the behind-the-scenes stuff. Nod to Bristol Bears' social media account, which is always very good.
Yeah.
So, the fixtures this week in the Premiership Cup. Worcester host Sale. Northampton host Bristol. Hopefully Worcester, who had two good wins in the Challenge Cup, hopefully get to see some more of their young lads. Ollie Lawrence is a guy on my radar. Yeah, Northampton, Bristol, Bath Quins, Gloucester Wasps, Saracens Leicester, and Newcastle Exeter. There you go.
Good stuff. Well, I'll be watching, but God, you know, what we get out of it. Fine. We'll just see some kids. Fine.
See some talent. You're the man who goes down to Sale Sharks Jets games in the A-League.
And occasionally Sale FC training to see what they're up to.
Do some talent scouting, so don't pretend like you're not bothered.
No, I will be bothered. I will be bothered. I just, you know, the competition itself isn't particularly interesting, is it?
No, it's about the young talent more than it is about
the
results.
Do we need it, though? I mean, couldn't we not just play the young talent in the championship?
Could do.
Loan them out, put them in.
Some do. Some get that experience.
Yeah.
This is just it's an alternative. It's a way of using their own systems. Because in the championship, you will inevitably play in different systems.
Yeah, so that's why I think it should change. So I've always thought that we should regionalise rugby below the clubs.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
So, like, Leicester would be basically in charge of all the local clubs around there, whoever's in their academy catchment region. So all the coaches are using the same language, they're trying to use similar systems, within reason, because you can't have everyone knowing each other's calls. But when the lads come back into Leicester then, you know, they're ready to go.
Yeah, that makes sense. Systems make sense to me.
Mm. Yeah, excellent. Right, so that is it for another week. Tim will be back. Will he be back?
He'll be back.
He'll be back sometime. Well, we'll find him soon.
Well, the shipping container will wash up somewhere in the world.
Yeah. If you find him, please return him to the Rugby Dungeon as soon as you can. You can find us on Twitter, on Facebook. You can buy some razors from Cornerstone. Egg 10 checkout. That's great. you can do all that stuff. But until next week, when we'll be back with at least one podcast, maybe even two, let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.